They told me to try to preach from the middle here. I'm afraid of the Joe Sillippo syndrome, though. You know, the Bible dropping, the notes dropping. Because there's all these holes. There's all these holes in it. Yeah. Okay, we'll see if it'll stay there. Okay, great. Anyway, it's good to be with you this morning. We're going to continue. I guess it's going to be a four-part series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to have Joe next week, and I believe James the week after. So that'll be great. This morning, I'm going to be preaching principally from the book of Galatians. So let's go there. Let's see here. Okay, good. Let's turn to Galatians 1. Do a little bit of introductory material. All right. So, fun facts about Galatians. All right. First of all, unlike the Ephesians or the Colossians or the Philippians or the Corinthians, there was no city called Galatia. So there's Paul's not writing to a particular church. Galatia, aren't you glad you're getting this information? It doesn't really affect the sermon at all. But, you know, a little fun facts to get you started, okay? Galatia is a region in central Turkey. And the fact is, we don't even know what churches were there at the time. There's no good record. Eventually, it was a church in Ancyra, but we call that Ankara today, which is the capital of Turkey. And who were the Galatians? Well, they were Celtic people. So if you're of Irish descent, you're a Galatian. All right. My wife is from Galicia. They say Galicia in northern Spain. So my wife is Galatian because her family's from there. And the French people, Julius Caesar, Omnia Gallia, yes, Julius Caesar, the Gauls. So the Gauls, the French people are Galatians. And a few of them stayed behind in Turkey. Why they stayed behind in Turkey, I don't really know. So the setting of the book is this. The church is going through its first real, possibly fatal crisis. Because what's happened in Galatia is those who are trying to bring Judaism back into Christianity were trying to essentially take over the church. And they were, like in Galatians 4, 10 and 11, we won't turn there, you can see that they're trying to get people to observe certain special days and special weeks and months and years. And they're insisting that our salvation depends on things like getting circumcised and all these other things. And apparently what's been happening, we don't know for sure, but apparently what's been happening is these Judaizing preachers have been following wherever Paul had been going. He plants the church, lots of conversions, and they're trying to reconvert him back to this whole thing about the law. Now let's see what Paul has to say about these people and what they're doing, which I'll tell you now is not very positive. All right. Galatians 1, let's read 6 through 9. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Why not? Because it's not even good news at all. That's the problem. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let them be eternally condemned. So Paul's got some pretty strong feelings here. In fact, let's go to Galatians 5, 2 through 4. By the way, this lesson is going to focus in on the Holy Spirit, but we're going to get there in a little bit, okay? Just so you know, we're going to get there in a little bit because basically Galatians 5, when we get there later on, we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit. So Galatians 5, 2 through 4, Paul says another really strong thing here. He says, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, has anybody here been circumcised? Don't raise your hand. We don't really want to know. That kind of information we don't really need. All right, but anyway. Christ will be of no value to you. So if you've been circumcised, Christ is of no value to you. No, that's not what he's saying, okay? But if you get circumcised out of obligation for salvation, then Christ is no value to you. He says, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised. Now, you were a baby, so you didn't, you know, that's different, I guess. That he is obligated to obey the whole law. That's the point. If they were to submit to this, if they were to accept this as part of their salvation, they didn't have to do the whole thing. Problem is, none of us do the whole thing, do we? That, he has a little conversation with Peter that he mentions earlier in the chapter here. But look at this. You are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ, you've fallen away from grace. Wow. So trying to obtain our righteousness, our salvation, through works of the law, that's looking like not a very good thing. And so these Judaizers were trying to combine sort of righteousness through law with grace. And Paul says those two, they don't mix. They do not mix at all. Interesting, these people that Paul's describing as fallen away, these are people who are going to church. These are people who are going to church all the time, and yet they've fallen away. Why? Because they're seeking their salvation through works. Now, I don't think anybody here in this room today has struggled with, you know, I need to get circumcised in order to be saved, all right? So a little bit different issues, but I think this is here for our benefit for sure. But one thing I know is, salvation by works is like being on a treadmill. And when you're on a treadmill, how far do you get? Nowhere. That's the problem. But we're all tempted. All of us are tempted to rely on outward works of righteousness rather than on the blood of Christ. Can anybody here relate to that? Has anybody ever found themselves in this obligation thing going on in your Christianity? I think all of us have that problem at one time or another. Some worse than others. Galatians 2, okay, 20 through 21. Let's read that. We're just sort of zip through Galatians, picking up a verse here and there. All right, anyway, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. My wife is going to give me, Jen, give me that signal, all right? She gives me that signal because I always forget. She said to me yesterday, John, are you going to remember to advance the slideshow? I said, I'll do my best. Thank you, Jen. All right. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Right? If righteousness could be gained through the law, that would mean that Christ died for nothing. So basically what Christ did, he replaced living by law with living by the Holy Spirit. That's where we're headed. All right, and if you're trying to work your way into a relationship with God, you're going to be on a treadmill, not good. And Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. That old self, and he was the ultimate example of law-keeping, you know, right, in Philippians. That old self has gone, the new self has come, and it's the self that is saved by the Holy Spirit. So then, Paul lived according to being good, but the problem was he wasn't good. In fact, he says earlier, and I think it's in Galatians 2, he says, you know, Peter was telling people to do this, that, and the other thing, and he said to Peter, he said to his face, dude, I don't know if he said dude, but dude, did you ever keep all the law? No. Then what are you doing here? All right, so to sum it up then, we do not set aside the grace of God if we are living according to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3, 10 through 14. Let's see. Okay. I love that word, redeemed. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. I don't want to be under a curse. I don't know about you. Alright? That's not good. Besides, living under the law, it's a bummer. It's no fun. Treadmill Christianity is not really good Christianity. Anyway, let me read on. As it says in the law, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So the question that Paul's asking you today to think about is, what are you relying on? In order to be close to God, what are you relying on? He says, the righteous will live by faith. In fact, the Greek, a little bit closer to this, is those who through faith are righteous will live. It doesn't come across very well in English, but basically, through faith we're made righteous, certainly not by the works of the law. And then he quotes Leviticus 18:5, which says, the person who does these things will live by them. I'd like a show of hands of all of you who feel like you have done those things. Alright. So then, why are you trying to live like you have to do all those things? That's what Paul is trying to say to you. Because the bottom line is, you actually don't. Christ already took that curse. And that is a curse. It is a curse. But you know what? That's what the flesh wants. That's really what I want us to get from this lesson, or one of the main things is, that's where the flesh goes. That's where our nature goes, is to seeking salvation through obedience, through works. In verse 13 it says, Christ redeemed us from the works, from the curse of living by the works. I love that word redeemed. What a great word. I looked it up in the dictionary. And of course, Wikipedia is the source of all truth. And it tells me that to be redeemed means to compensate for the faults or bad aspects. Anybody have some faults or bad aspects out there? Yeah. Through Christ, we've been redeemed from those things. Amen. And the second definition is to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. And that's what happened. The payment of Christ. And then God, we regained a relationship with God. And it says, to use the word in context, Billy redeemed his drums from the pawnbrokers. In other words, the pawnbroker owned it, Satan owned us, the law owned us, the penalty was paid, now we have it back. That's how it works. You know, we've been paid for it. It reminds me of Hosea, where, you know, his wife had sold herself as a prostitute. So what does Hosea do? He goes to the pimp, essentially, and he says, what does she cost? The pimp says, whatever. And he says, all right, here you go. And he bought his wife back. And, you know, that's kind of a tough image there, but that's what we were. We were prostituted to the flesh. It's not a good thing. God bought us back. Galatians 4. By the way, we're going to get to the Holy Spirit in a minute. Just bear with me here. We're getting there. All right, let's read starting in verse 21. Okay, great. Tell me, you who want to be under the law. Now, none of us actually want to be under the law. All right, we would much prefer to just flat out be forgiven. Wouldn't that be a lot better? But the flesh just keeps going back there. The Holy Spirit takes us in one direction. That's where we want to go. And the flesh takes us in the other direction. So, you know, he's kind of being rhetorical here. You who want to be under the law. Because they would have never said we want to be under the law, but what are they doing? They're enforcing the law. Whatever it was. And for us, again, it's not circumcision. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. It's sharing our faith, praying, being a good person, going to church, discipling somebody, these things, which God wants us to do out of freedom, which is where we're going. Okay, great. So tell me, you want to be under the law. Are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. These things can be taken figuratively. So I'm about to take these things figuratively, and Paul just said it's okay to take them figuratively. Thank you, Paul, for the permission there. The women represent two covenants. The one covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia, corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. Now, basically saying this is Judaism. This is the law. It is slavery. And so we could either be children of Ishmael, slaves, or children of Isaac, free. Tough choice there. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren women. You who never bore a child, shout for joy, cry aloud. You who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. All right, let's skip down to verse 31. Therefore, brothers and sisters, this is Paul's admonition to you. We are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. And, it doesn't take a lot of faith. You know, when Abraham produced Ishmael through Hagar, it didn't take a lot of faith. In fact, really, the reason Ishmael was born is because Abraham lacked faith. And what does life based on law produce? It produces, metaphorically, slavery. It produces a life of obligation. And I don't really want to live that life. I'd rather live a life of freedom in Christ. So the opposite is promise. And that's what Isaac represents. He represents promise, the new Jerusalem. And the Jerusalem is from above. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. That was all introduction. Now we're getting into our sermon. Because in Galatians 5, 1, here's where we're going to start to talk about the Holy Spirit. Okay, great. Now, Galatians 5, 1, it says here, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So Paul says, the reason God set you free is so that you would be free. Well, is there another, reason to be set free other than so we'd be free? Now, what has Christ set us free from, according to this passage? Slavery. All right, slavery to what? Not to sin. To law, to obligation. Because outside of Christ, you're living under obligation. That's not a very good place to live. You know, it's kind of like this. I get to or I have to. Which kind of Christianity do you want to live? I get to Christianity or I have to Christianity? Because that's what the Judaizers were doing. They were trying to return the church to have to Christianity, which is slavery. Free from what? Free from obligation. And in fact, in Colossians chapter 2, he talks about nailing the law to the cross. And he said, he freed us from that obligation. We're free. I want to tell you folks, you're free. You don't have to share your faith. Now you should. I hope you want to. But isn't it more fulfilling to do it because you want to? Than because you have to? But all of us, see, the flesh keeps going back to that obligation thing. And I guess, if worse comes to worse, if you do it because you have to, I guess maybe that's slightly better than not doing it at all. It might be slightly better. But Paul did say God loves a cheerful giver. So you know what? If you don't want to share your faith, maybe just don't even do it. Maybe just don't even do it. But I'm telling you, if you do it because you love God, there is great satisfaction in that. If you pray because you want to. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to be traveling to Vladivostok. I'm going to be going 15 time zones, going the wrong way. And then from there, I'm going to go to Tokyo and Osaka. Now, whatever. To our friend here. I mean, you fly on 12 time zones. You do that in your sleep. No, you don't do it in your sleep, though, right? You stay awake. All right, great. Anyway. And then I'm going to go to Ulaanbaatar. And then I'm going to go to Bishkek in Kyrgyzstan. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be dead tired. I guarantee you I'm going to get sick. But you know why I do that? I do it because I want to. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is telling me to go there. And if the Holy Spirit tells you to go there, you know what you should do? You should go there. Because that's freedom. I don't have to. I want to. And a lot of us, this is the kind of Christianity we're living to. Living. Do I have to go to church on Sunday morning? Midweek? Joe's telling us we have to go to midweek. Do I have to go to midweek? Oh, I'm not going to get anything out of it, you know, or something like that. If that's the Christianity you're living, no wonder you don't want to go. You're missing the whole point. It's I get to, not I have to. So why do you do the things you do? We already read 2 through 4, so let's skip down to 5 and 6. This is kind of the theme verse of this lesson, Galatians 5, 5 and 6. I think it's really the theme of Galatians, really. For through the Spirit, now notice this, this is the thing, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, for, at least as I see it, as it seems that Paul sees it. For through the Spirit, we eagerly wait a faith, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So the way Isaiah put it is, all your righteous acts are like filthy rags. All that stuff you did, it earns you squat. Nothing. All right? The only thing that counts. Now, is Paul exaggerating? You're saying the only thing that counts? I mean, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Doesn't this other stuff, doesn't it count, you know, that I did this, that, and the other thing? Now, I'll tell you right now, you'll be rewarded for this, that, and the other thing. The Bible says that. All right? But are you doing it for the reward? If you are, that's kind of law Christianity. That's not grace. That's not Holy Spirit Christianity. Now, Roger Bedetheim, Roger and Nancy are here. Their daughter's getting married today, and that's awesome. We're having a conversation. This is a great quote. This is what he said. The freedom we have comes from the Holy Spirit living in us. And that's the thing I want you to realize. It's Him living in us. Because He's living in us, He's a deposit guaranteeing our salvation until the coming of Christ. We've been redeemed. The deposit is there. I mean, nobody else can take that house, right? If you put on a deposit on the house, it's yours. You haven't even paid for it, but it's yours anyway. That's the way it works. That's the way it is. So here's my question. What are you doing right now in your life? What are you doing just because you love God? Wouldn't that be great to serve the poor and the needy just because you love God? Wouldn't it be great to start a new program in the church, not because you have to, not because somebody asked you to, but because you love God? Apparently, it says here, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. Really, Paul? That's the only thing that matters? Well, if you have that down, yeah, I mean, there's other things that matter, but, you know, based on this, arguably nothing else does matter. Because with this, everything else comes. So what are you doing out of love? What are you doing because the Holy Spirit is moving you to do it? Wow. My background doesn't go that way very easily. I'm a scientist, you know, and I want to have everything measured. But plus I came kind of out of the, you know, we kind of came out of the mainline Church of Christ, honestly, which kind of didn't talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot. But you know what? I really think the Holy Spirit can move us. And when we do things, when the Holy Spirit says go and you go, there's great satisfaction out there. Really, really is. So the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. Not through have to, not through obligation, but through love. Let's skip over to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, and right after that comes Ezekiel 37. All right. By the way, you know, I used to read John chapter 3. You know where Jesus rebukes Nicodemus, because he doesn't realize you have to be born again of the water of the Spirit. I thought, that's kind of harsh. How should Nicodemus have known that you're supposed to be born again of the water and the Spirit? Because he should have read Ezekiel 36, because that's what it says right here. So I'm not giving Nicodemus as much of a break as I used to give him on that. But anyway, starting verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. See, that's what God has put in us. Law, Spirit. Oh, much better. Much better. All right, I lost my place here. Okay. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you heart of flesh. Here we go. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Trying to move you. Not make you. Trying to move you. The Holy Spirit is trying to move you to serve Him. And that is an awesome and beautiful thing. Do you listen to the Holy Spirit? He's telling you, go talk to that guy. He's telling you, write that note. He's telling you, stop your car, get out of it, and help that person. He's telling you to speak up and say, no, we don't talk that way around here. We don't say those things. That's not right. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He lives in you. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the opposite of living by the law. Ezekiel 37, just right across the page, it talks about the Holy Spirit. Starting in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me in the middle of the valley. The Holy Spirit, by the way, I think James is going to do his lesson, I think, maybe from the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, that's where we're headed. And there's so much stuff about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Really? Yeah, there's tons of stuff about that. Right here, for one. Anyway, He took me out to set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones in the floor of the valley. By the way, these bones in the valley, that's you. That's you in the flesh. How much hope for these bones? Not much hope for these bones. You were hopeless, honestly. And then Christ died for you, paid the price, redeemed you. But let's read on. All right, He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? He wisely says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then He said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you. By the way, breath, spirit, pneuma. Well, that's the Greek version. Basically, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit enter you. And you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. And I will cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. And you will know that I'm the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Another wise thing there, Ezekiel. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone upon bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them. And the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then He said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and He commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. The Holy Spirit came into us when we were baptized, and it gave us life. Let's go back to Galatians. We're almost done here. Galatians 5. This is the section, though, where Paul makes the connection between grace, salvation, and the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now we think, if you try hard enough, you won't satisfy the flesh. Is that what the Bible says? Try hard and you'll stop sinning. No. What's it say? It says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And by the way, where it says flesh, put the word law. Because where does the flesh go? Law. It goes to obligation. And it's kind of our default mode. You know, it's just some of us more than others. But it's our default mode. They're in conflict with each other so that they're not, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. See, the proper use of Christian freedom is to love one another. You know, Christ gave us our freedom, and what's he want us to do? He wants us to make ourselves a slave. A voluntary slave. A willing slave. A slave who says, how can I serve you? How can I meet your needs? It says to the saved and to the lost, how can I serve you? We make ourselves a voluntary slaves because he didn't give us freedom so that we could sin. Are you kidding? By no means. How can we live that way any longer? All right? And so the proper use of freedom is to serve. We're not under obligation. We become voluntary slaves. Willingly, we give up our freedom. So really, the counterpoint in Galatians is living by the Spirit or living by law or flesh. To live according to law, rule, obligation. What does the Spirit desire? What does the Holy Spirit desire for you? To live in freedom. He desires you to give your life wholly, wholeheartedly, to hold back nothing. That's what living according to the Spirit can mean, if we're willing for it to mean that. And in fact, you know, next the Galatians 5:19 through, you know, we all know Galatians 5:19. And basically, the choice is living according to the Spirit are living according to the flesh. The acts of the sinful nature are they're not so good. And what I don't want to have those things. I want to have the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 22, the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You think, what's he talking about the law? I mean, of course there's no law. But see, the opposite of living by peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness is living by obligation. Because you know what? If you're living by obligation, remember that picture? All right, let me see. Yeah, that's what living by obligation looks like. Do you ever have a kid who gave you that look? Your kid ever gave you that, parents? Do I have to? But some of us, that's our Christianity. It has been. Not good. It's not what God wants. That's not what the Holy Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit wants us to live by faith, not to gratify the sinful nature. So the fruit of the Spirit, his point is that the opposite of living according to the Spirit is living according to the law. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. In fact, let's reread that. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. So here's Paul's advice. Paul's advice is, number one, in your life, to walk by the Spirit. Now, what would that mean to you? I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly what that means. I really don't. I'm kind of working my way, not working as in for salvation, working, you know, working on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on it. I'm working on trying to figure out what it means to walk by the Spirit. But one thing I know is the Spirit says, walk that way. It means I should walk that way. So that's why I'm going to Ulaanbaatar. Because the Holy Spirit said to go to Ulaanbaatar. If the Holy Spirit says to go to the mission team, you know what you ought to do? Probably go on the mission team. Because you want to. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do. So I'm not sure exactly what it means to walk by the Spirit. But one thing I know is, I want to walk by the Spirit. Amen. And then in Galatians 5:18, it says, to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit, if He lives in you, He's talking to you. He's saying, help in that situation. He's saying, take care of your body. I don't know what he's saying. He's saying something. And we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because if we listen to the Holy Spirit, the flesh will have less power over us. That's the whole point. Then in Galatians 5:25, he says, live by the Spirit. Again, I don't know exactly what that means. I know this. I want to do it. I want to live that way. And, you know, and if we quench the Spirit, Jeremy talked about quenching the Spirit last week, then we're not going to be able to live by the Spirit. And last of all, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is walking that way. We need to walk that way. Is the Spirit going to lead you to looking at that thing online? I don't think so. Probably not. If you find yourself looking that way, say, the Holy Spirit's not sending me in that direction, that's for sure. So it seems like overall what Paul is saying to us, that listening to the Holy Spirit is far more likely to lead to righteousness that you want anyway. Not through effort. Now, does it involve effort? Of course it involves effort. Nobody's ever said it's easy, right? Nobody ever said it was easy. But it's effort working with the Holy Spirit instead of working by our own effort. So, law does not produce righteousness. Colossians 2:23. The Holy Spirit does. So, let's walk with the Spirit. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let's live by the Spirit. And let's keep in step with the Spirit, and then we'll be free in Christ. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for a great message. Great job, John.